Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is the Word is a live broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. I talk, I teach, I learn, and I love you. So stay tuned for a wonderful show.
No way, I'm not ashamed. I'm gonna tell the world about Jesus. I've got to testify. I'm gonna tell the world about Him. No way, I'm not ashamed. I'm gonna tell the world about Jesus. I've got to testify. I'm gonna tell the world about Him. There is a message we must carry. Now that Jesus Christ has set us free, yeah. Without doubt or hesitation, take the news to every nation. No way, I'm not ashamed. I'm gonna tell the world about Jesus. I gotta testify. I'm gonna tell the world about Him. No way, I'm not ashamed. I'm gonna tell the world about Jesus. I gotta testify. I'm gonna tell the world about Him. This is the time for holy boldness. This is the time for victory.
Jesus is the Word podcast ministry here on Blog Talk Radio. Are you bent out of shape in your life? Have you been severely depressed lately about circumstances, economy, and situations like this? Well, Jesus can help. I am here to tell you that Jesus is really the helper and the comforter through the Holy Spirit of people that are depressed and sad and sorrowful in their life. And if you are bent out of shape, well, listen to this sermon for today. There is two people in the Bible, two characters in the Bible that have been bent out of shape. And there's a little joke I'm going to go ahead and say in the beginning of the sermon, so you get an idea and a gist of what's actually going on in the show today. But before I get started, I'd like to say a little prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for loving the people in the world and caring enough for them to bring salvation to everyone that would accept you, Lord, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. I ask, Lord, today that people get a message out of this sermon and that it may be applied to their life, that they may come to know you in a more personal way. Amen and amen. Okay. So, Jesus is the Word is a ministry that's been put together with a new flair, and in the future, I'm probably going to be using some natural voices to do some input and sermons on this podcast. I want to do it for a while to see how you people like it. I did this recording here myself that's coming up, and I hope you like it. So stay tuned for a wonderful little word here. Here we go right now.
Frank and Mabel had been married for 40 years. Now, Frank had just turned 60 a few months earlier, and they were now celebrating Mabel's 60th birthday. During the birthday party, Frank walked into another room and was surprised to see a fairy godmother appear before him. And she said to Frank, "This is your lucky day, Frank. I'm here to grant you one wish. What would you like?" So he thought for a moment and said, "Well, I would really like to have a wife who is 30 years younger than me." Well, the fairy godmother said, "No problem, Frank." So she waved her wand and poof. Suddenly, Frank was 9 years old. I imagine old Frank was a little bent out of shape by the way that turned out. Well, I also have a friend in Alabama whose favorite expression was bent out of shape. When he was upset about something, he'd always said he was bent out of shape. How about it? And I recall he stayed bent out of shape much of the time. Now, in the passage of Scripture for today, we're going to talk and take a look at two people who were bent out of shape. One was a woman who was physically bent out of shape, and the other was a religious man who was spiritually bent out of shape. Now, one was crippled by a spirit of weakness, and the other was crippled by a spirit of legalism and bitterness. Jesus was unable to help one of them, but the other one stayed bent out of shape. Let's read about them in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 21. Now, many of you may be bent out of shape today for a variety of reasons. And if you'll pay attention to Jesus today, he can and will set you free. First, let's consider the woman who, like some of us, is one bent out of shape by suffering. In Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Now let's go on from here. Jesus was still trying to reach the Jews at this point, so we find him teaching in the synagogue. The Jewish Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday, and most synagogues still have services on Friday evening, so this is probably on a Friday night. Now, the opposition against Jesus is growing, and this is the last time in Luke's gospel that we find Jesus in a synagogue. Now, he saw a poor woman who was so bent out of shape she couldn't stand up straight. This was more than just a case of osteoporosis. She had been this way for 18 years, and I can just picture her bent over, so she couldn't look up and see the sky. Now, she had spent the last 18 years looking down into the dirt at her feet and everyone else's feet. No doubt, eating and drinking were difficult, and she could only rest curled up in a fetal position. Remember, Luke is a physician now, so Dr. Luke uses interesting words to diagnose her condition. He doesn't use the word that would mean illness, disease, or injury. In verse 11, he uses the phrase, crippled by a spirit. Then, in verse 12, Jesus uses the word, infirmity, which doesn't mean sickness caused by disease. It simply means weakness. Now, it's probable her weakness was caused by demonic influence because Jesus says in verse 16, she had been bound by Satan for 18 years. Demonic spirits can provoke physical problems, but not every illness or disease is caused by demons. There are 26 recorded miracles where Jesus heals someone of a physical problem, and only 7 of those were problems caused by demonic influence. Demonic spirits can influence a person in a variety of ways. Remember, the term demon possession doesn't appear once in the New Testament is simply the word demonized. Jesus cast demons out of people, but this encounter is different here. The first, elsewhere, when Jesus cast out a demon out of a person, he never touched the person. He simply commanded the demon spirit to depart. In this passage, Jesus touches the poor woman. A second difference is when demons were cast out, it was always a dramatic, almost scary experience. Remember the demons that entered the pigs and they did the swine dive and committed suicide? Well, in this case, the woman simply stands up straight. A lying spirit had convinced this poor woman that she couldn't stand up. From the language of Dr. Luke that he uses, it seems she had no physiological cause for her affliction. Now, did you know that physicians today can testify of the amazing connection between the mind and the body? Yeah, some people are literally sick because they think they are sick. And there is no organic or physical reason to explain their illness. They are just as sick as someone who has an affliction, but the illness started in their minds. For years, people told the woman, stand up, and she would just simply reply, I can't. Look up. I can't. Lift up your eyes. I can't. When asked why not, she would say, I just can't. Some of you have a good taste of the can'ts as well. Stop drinking. I can't. Stop looking at pornography. I can't. Stop abusing drugs. I can't. Stop being bitter. I can't. Forgive that person who hurt you. I can't. You see, you need to allow Jesus to deliver you from the can'ts today. Now, have you ever seen a circus elephant tied to a small wooden stake outside a circus tent? Well, that grown elephant could easily rip that wooden stake out of the ground, but when elephant handlers are training baby elephants, they use a strong iron anchor bar and drive it deep into the ground. When the baby elephant tugs and tries to get away, he can't and experiences the pain of the shackle on his leg. Finally, he gives up and stops pulling. Gradually, as the elephant grows up, they replace the iron anchor bar with a wooden stake. That's why the grown elephant doesn't pull away. He doesn't think he can, so he can't. It's not the stake in the ground keeping him in place. It's the thought in his mind that keeps him there. Now, one of the devil's greatest tools is to try to erect a stronghold in your mind to make you think you can't do something God has told you to do. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, do not give the devil a foothold. Now, if you give the devil an inch, you'll take your smile and he will rob you of your joy. Meanwhile, back in the synagogue, or at the synagogue, notice the steps Jesus follows to deliver this woman. First, he looks at her, and then he calls her. I wonder if Jesus bent down and looked into her eyes. I don't know. I imagine him as he looks into those fearful but hopeful eyes. He smiles and says, ma'am, you are set free from your infirmity. She is still bent over, so Jesus reaches out and touches her. I love verse 13. It says, immediately she straightened up and praised God. Now, I don't know what she said or sang, it just says she started praising God. If she were around today, maybe she would have sung, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Now, that leads us to our life lesson. When Jesus touches you, you'll straighten up and praise God. Maybe you feel the weight of the world has doubled you over. You feel bent out of shape because of the burdens you have to carry. Worry and anxiety can bend you over. Heartache, pain, frustration, and suffering can bend you over. Some of you have lost your jobs. You've been hurt, abused, or rejected. And it seems as if you can't look up. You may be trapped in some sin or carrying around some deep, dark secret, and you feel bent out of shape. People say, just look up. And your reply is, I can't. They say, just shake it off. You say, I can't. Jesus wants you, wants to do the same thing for you that he did for this woman. First, he sees you and he knows your pain. You can't hide your pain from, you might be able to hide your pain from others behind a smile, but Jesus sees you. Second, he calls you to himself. Come to me, all you who labor and are bent over with care, and I'll give you rest. Next, he speaks to you to let you know that you can be set free from your weakness. Best of all, he touches you. Every time you encounter Jesus in worship, he touches you. Here's his word for you. Straighten up. If your marriage is a mess and you feel bent over from the burden, let Jesus touch you. Then straighten up and praise him. If addicted to something, Satan has you bound, let Jesus touch you. Then straighten up and praise him. My friend,
amen.
You can't be touched by Jesus and stay the same. Let him touch you and deliver you today. Now, this poor woman was not the only crippled person that was there that day. We also see a man who was, number two, bent out of shape by religious rules. Luke 13, verses 14 through 16. And we're going to discuss that right now. The poor woman who had been set free was praising the Lord. And all her friends were rejoicing and shouting, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But the leader of the synagogue couldn't stand it. This was out of the ordinary, and he didn't like it one bit. He became indignant, bent, all out of shape. In other words, he was bent out of shape. In the midst of the rejoicing, he jumped to his feet and ordered everyone to be quiet and stop rejoicing. Things were not going to get out of hand in his synagogue. He even quoted Exodus 20, verse 9 to justify his action. There wasn't going to be any healing in his synagogue on the Sabbath. No, sir. It's one thing to quote scripture. It's another thing to correctly apply it. Apparently, the synagogue ruler had a few others who agreed with his action because Jesus addressed his words to a group. Now, I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in the message. You frauds, each Sabbath, every one of you unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan has had her tied these 18 years? Now, the Jews had made so many loopholes in the Sabbath laws, they had figured out a way to untie their livestock and lead them to water, even if the water was more than the Sabbath's walk away. Jesus accused them of treating their animals better than they treated people. Sadly, the descendants of this self-appointed religious expert are still with us today. These uptight folks are relying more on a set of strict religious rules than on a liberating, joyous relationship with God. They are often called legalists or religious traditionalists. You can usually spot them when other folks get happy in the Lord and start praising God. Like the man in our text, they are quick to complain. They still get upset when they see someone having a good time in the Lord. I guess it's because they think religion ought to make you miserable. And if you are enjoying yourself, you can't be very spiritual then. Those who have been set free by Jesus are under the constant scrutiny of these legalists who are ready to condemn at any unexpected exuberance. It's nothing new. It was happening 3,000 years ago. In 2 Samuel 6, there's an interesting story about King David. The Ark of God had been out of Jerusalem for a long time, and finally David arranged to have it brought back to the city of Jerusalem. as the priests were carrying the ark into the city, David got so excited that the Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might. I don't know exactly what that means, except I suppose David was so full of joy, he just got happy feet. One of his wives, Michal, saw him and despised his behavior. She got all bent out of shape. She mocked him, and in words dripping with sarcasm, accused him of being undignified. I love David's reply here. He didn't let her rob his joy. He just said, I will celebrate before the Lord and become more undignified because my dignity isn't as important as celebrating the goodness of God. 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 22. Sam Jones was a Methodist evangelist who lived and preached in the late 1800s. He was known to be extremely plain spoken. Once he was preaching about how some people refuse to get enthusiastic about God because they are afraid they might lose their dignity. He said, dignity is the starch of the shroud. The more dignity a fellow has, the nearer dead he is. I expect to be as dignified as some of you when they put me in my coffin. Every church has what I call the cold water committee. Whenever the fear of God starts burning in the hearts of some folks, they rise up and pour cold water on it. Whenever there's a new or creative way to do church, they pour cold water on that idea as well. The cold water committee is not an elected committee. The members are self-appointed. They think it is their job to make sure things don't get out of hand in their church. Their favorite phrases are, we don't do things like that around here, or we've never done it that way before. Like the ruler of the synagogue, these people may even quote a little scripture, but they are more into rules than into liberty Jesus gives. Now don't become a part of that committee, and don't pay any attention when someone on that committee corners you to complain about something he or she doesn't like. There are some religious traditions that are completely benign. But when you allow traditions to overshadow the Word of God, that's when they become dangerous. Jesus said in Mark 7, verses 8 through 13, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Thus, you nullify the Word of God by your tradition which you have handed down. Now, God is always at work in the now, and a tradition always anchors up us to the past. Someone has written a clever definition of a religious tradition. A clock that tells you what time it was. It's sad to say that many churches and many Christians still want things to be the way it used to be. When they sing about the old time religion, they aren't talking about 2,000 years ago, you know, in the book of Acts. They're talking about the church in the South in the 1950s and 1960s. Here's the life lesson. God's laws aren't to tie you down, but to set you free. The law of God was never intended to restrict you, but to set you free. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. Okay? Now in Galatians 3, verse 24, Paul is writing to a group of Christians who have forfeited their liberty under grace and have slipped back into the straitjacket of the law. He says, the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Legalists don't enjoy their faith. And they don't want anyone else to either. All right, now legalist is someone whose list of rules is longer than God's, and they want to impose their list of rules and regulations on others. Max Lucado wrote, legalism has no pity on people. Legalism makes my opinion your burden, makes my opinion your boundary, makes my opinion your obligation. Nothing will keep a Christian more immature than trying to keep a long list of rules.
There you go, folks. How about that? Hallelujah. All you legalists out there, get your act together. Don't be so legal. Be free in the Lord. The Lord wants you to have freedom and peace and joy and happiness and love and have fun. Enjoy your salvation. Be happy that you have salvation. Love the Lord with all your might, heart, mind, and soul. Yeah, just love the Lord, and He'll show you a great time in Him. Jesus is the truth, you know, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father but by Him. So accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Well, I'm at the end of this episode of Jesus is the Word podcast. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and have a great morning, because we still have morning left here in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. So have a good morning. Eat a good breakfast. Smile. Be happy in the Lord. Don't be so scared. Don't be so bent out of shape. Give it to the Lord. He'll release the burden from you. If you're heavy laden, He'll do that for you. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this sermon today. We hope, Lord, that Your Word has instilled some joy in someone, some change of heart, change of mind, that they might come to know You in a more deeper way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, folks. Have a great day, and enjoy it in the Lord.
You have been listening to Jesus is the Word radio show, brought to you by Jesus and William T., the Radical Christian. Tune in next week for a new topic by the Radical Christian William T. and his Lord, Jesus. Good day, everyone, and may God bless you and yours.